Good evening. Welcome to SharonJoinMe.com. Sorry for the delay. I had a difficult time picking up a signal. Baruch Hashem, able to make it, to get through. This week is Parshas Ki Tsetse. We begin, of course, by acknowledging our host, SharonJoinMe.com, Jake Weinman, and all the wonderful people who make this possible, including our technical expert, Mitch Green, who's always here to provide incredible assistance. And likewise, we want to acknowledge sponsor, Learning with Zecher Uli Ilui Nishmas, Manish Yitzchok Ben Aryeh. And we're also going to be learning for a refuah shlema for Avraham Chizkiyahu Ben Beluma. He's in need of Rachamei Shemayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu send him refuah shlema in the course of the learning that we engage in this evening. Special shout out again to all of our Choshev people, our listeners, and let's begin. This week is a beautiful parsha. There are many, many mitzvot that appear in this week's parsha, Parshas Ki Tsetse, and we begin. Let's focus on one specific halacha, the halacha of Lo Yavoi Amoni Umoyavi B'Kahal Hashem. Gam Dor Asiri Lo Yavoi Lohem B'Kahal Hashem Adolam. Torah tells us in Parshas Ki Tsetse, Perchov Gimel, Pasuk Dalid, that a member of the nation of Ammon and Moab may not enter into the Jewish people, which means they may not marry. They may not marry a Jew. It would appear, different opinions about this, that they can convert. They can be chayv in all of the mitzvahs, but they may not marry a regular member of the Jewish people. Why is that so? So the pasuk tells us, "Al davar shelo kidbu eschem b'lechem v'mayim b'derech b'tzeschem b'mitzrayim." When we left Egypt, we passed through their land as we were traveling towards Eretz Yisrael, and they did not have the decency to come out and to greet us, to give bread and water. Furthermore, the pasuk goes on to say, "Vasher sachar alechas bilam ben bar." A second reason, and this seemingly refers specifically to Moab. They hired Bilam ben Ba'ar, Mipisar, to curse us. And the pasuk here goes on to say that Kadosh Baruch Hu transformed the curse into a blessing. Okay. Then the pasuk goes on to say, there are another two nations. Loi sesaev adoni ki yochichu, veloi sesaev mitzri ki ger hoyisa biaretzo. There are two more nations that we have to discuss with regard to the issue: are they allowed to marry a member of the Jewish people? And the Torah says that when it comes to Edom, and it comes to Egypt, Mitzrayim, they also cannot marry into the Jewish people immediately. They have to wait three generations. And that means basically that if a member of the nation of Edom wants to marry a Jewish woman, he cannot. But what he can do is he can convert, become a Jew, and find a woman who has converted, and they can get married. When they will have children, their children will be second generation. And those children will marry, let's assume for the sake of simplicity, someone similar to them, a product of another conversion of a man and a woman from the nation of Edom or Mitzrayim. And when they will have children, that child will then be a third generation. There will now be three generations of converts, and that grandchild who comes from grandparents who converted to Judaism from the nation of Edom or Mitzrayim is now permitted to marry any member of the Jewish people. They must wait three generations. they must convert, marry their own kind, have children, and their children will also marry their own kind. And when they reach the state of grandchildren, the grandchildren can then marry anyone they want from the Jewish people, except for Kohanim. I think the Kubi Kohanim also is permitted. They can marry into the Jewish people. I'm not sure about Kohanim. Seemingly the answer would be yes, but I'm not sure. Okay. But when it comes to the nations of Ammon and Moab, never. No matter how many generations down this group of people come from, if converts, there are converts from Ammon and Moab, and they marry amongst themselves, even 10 generations down, doesn't matter. Even 10 generations down further, those individuals may not marry into the Jewish people. We know that the exception, of course, there's an exception for women. The women are not included in this prohibition. A woman who comes from the nation of Ammon and Moab is permitted to immediately marry a Jewish man. And in fact, David HaMelech comes from Rus HaMoaviyah. And likewise, Shlomo married a woman from the nation of Ammon. Okay, so what comes out over here is we have over here, really, Rashi really summarizes this. I mean, Rashi adds a little more flavor to this discussion. We have here three categories of converts. There are converts who come from the nations of the world. Anyone that's not listed here in these amongst these four nations. A convert from any nation in the world who converts, a person who converts, he accepts upon himself all of the mitzvahs. There is tevilah in a mikvah, and for a male there is bris milah. Of course, under the supervision and the authority of a bezdin, that convert can marry anyone in the Jewish people. If the convert comes from the nations of Ammon and Moab, the male converts, and their children going downwards, all of the males going downwards, they are never permitted to marry into the Jewish people. And the category that's in between are converts, both male and female, from the nations of Edom and Mitzrayim. They're in the middle. We are not permitted to reject them. Loi tisoev, the Targum translates the word tisoev as to distance, to push them away. If they wish to join us, they are accepted after three generations. They convert amongst themselves, and after three generations, they are permitted to marry into the mainstream members of the Jewish people. These are the categories. The converts that can marry immediately, the converts that are never allowed to join, and the converts that have to wait three generations. Among those that have to wait three generations are two nations, Edom and Mitzrayim. Rashi explains why we don't reject them. Why do we not reject them? And why do we reject them, not reject them? So Rashi explains that Edom really, we should thoroughly reject forever. Why? Because when we left Egypt, we wanted to pass through their land, and they did not allow us. They did not allow us. So it was a horrible act of insensitivity, cruelty. But because they are our brother, Esav and Yaakov are brothers, Kiyochichu, don't fully reject them. It's incredible insight. Really, we should reject them forever. But there's a benefit to being a brother.
Esav is our brother. When it comes to Egypt, Rashi says, the Egyptians would be even worse. The Egyptians, they took our children and they drowned them in the Nile. So we would assume that we should thoroughly reject them from ever becoming converts amongst the Jewish people. Rashi says, you have to remember that in the beginning of our history, there was a famine, and we would have starved to death. And the Egyptians were kind to take us in and to host us during our early development as a nation. And out of recognition for their kindness, we cannot fully reject them if they wish to join us, despite the fact that they've committed atrocities. If they want to join us, we allow them to join after three generations. However, with regard to Amon and Moav, they're thoroughly rejected. And Rashi, interestingly, adds more, another dimension into the reason why they're rejected, more than what it says in the Pasuk. The Pasuk tells us the reason why they are rejected is because they did not come forward to greet us with bread and water when we left Egypt. Furthermore, Moab hired Bilam to curse the Jewish people. Therefore, they are thoroughly rejected. Rashi, though, interestingly, adds another reason why they are rejected. And that is because Moab, and it's not clear, this needs more research, Moab attempted and in fact succeeded in causing the Jewish people to do terrible averos. When Bilam was unsuccessful in cursing the Jewish people, Hashem transformed his blessing. Hashem transformed his curse into a blessing. So Bilam was embarrassed. He was unsuccessful. And he gave advice to the king of Moab, let me tell you what to do. Let me tell you what to do, how to overcome the Jewish people. And that is, you send out, Bilam was from Moab, and Balak was from Midian. He advised him, take your young girls, send them out, and they should incite, they should seduce the young men and cause them to do averos. And by causing them to do averos, by seducing them, Hashem will get angry, and that will cause there to be harm among the Jewish people. And indeed, this plan worked. Rashi, let me read the words of Rashi. Rashi says, because of this terrible avera, they are rejected from the Jewish people forever. Let me summarize the Rashi. Sharhu umos mutadim miyad. Other nations that are not part of the list here are permitted. Halamad. From here we can learn. Shehamachati la'adam kasha loy min ha'hargon. Someone who causes someone to sin is worse than someone who actually commits murder. Shehahoyreg, someone who commits murder, hargoy b'olam hazeh, v'hamachatiyoy, someone that causes someone to sin, moitziyoy removes him min olam hazeh, u'min olam haba, l'zichach, therefore, edoim, shekod mecha b'cherev, Edom, which came to greet you with a sword, lo nita'ev, has not been thoroughly rejected. V'chein Mitzrayim, shetavum, that drowned us. But the elu, shehechetium, but these people who caused us to sin, they engaged in different activities. Okay, this requires study to understand exactly what they tried to do. They engaged in activity to cause us to sin, to do averos, to cause us to lose out this world and the next world, they are rejected thoroughly. Now the question is, why did Rashi need to add this extra reason into the pasuk? It says in the pasuk very clearly, the reason why Ammon and Moab were rejected was because Ammon and Moab did not greet us the lechem v'mayim when we went out into the desert. What else did they do? Moab hired Bilam ben Baar. And I guess we have to assume, this requires further study, that Ammon was a partner with Moab, even though it doesn't say it explicitly in the pasuk, to hire Bilam ben Baar and Sarah and Harayim to curse us. Why does Rashi need to add this the aftermath of Vasher Socher Alecha as Bilam ben Baar b'Besaram Naharayim? Why does Rashi need to add that? Why does he need to add the reason that they caused us to sin? The element of causing us to sin is what took place after Bilam failed to curse the Jewish people. The pasuk tells us the reason why Ammon and Moab are thoroughly rejected from the Jewish people was for two reasons. They did not have their cheretz to come out to greet us, the lechem uvamayim. Number two, they tried to destroy us. That's all we need. Yet Rashi is coming along and telling us there's another reason why they're rejected. After, not only do they not greet us with water and bread, not only did they try to destroy us through cursing us, when everything failed, they advised the girls of Midian to come out and to seduce the Jewish men and cause them to sin, and they would lose their good favor with Hashem, and they would lose their portion in the next world because of their sins. Such terrible people. It's not enough for them to deny food and water. It's not enough for them to curse the Jewish people, but to cause them to sin, they are rejected thoroughly from entering into the Jewish people. Why do we need to come on to the third reason? They didn't bring us water and bread. They tried to curse us. The only, really, we would reject Egypt and Edom the same. The only reason why we do not reject Egypt and Edom is because Edom is our brother, Yaakov and Esav. Edom comes from Esav. We were together in the womb of Rivka together, and Mitzrayim was our host. Ammon and Moab are not our brothers. Ammon and Moab did not provide for us anything. So they did not behave well. They tried to destroy us. Goodbye. Goodbye and good riddance. Why did Rashi need to add this element of Ammon and Moab attempted to cause the Jewish people to be nichshal, to sin, and lose their spirituality, and therefore they must be thoroughly rejected? We have to say, we have to suggest, there are many things you can suggest, and the best type of shir is where the people who listen to the shir come up with their own ideas. That's true success, but let us just speak out an idea, and that is Rashi is telling us the underlying reason of why they did not greet us with bread and water and try to curse us. A curse. What is a curse? A curse is a spiritual form of harm. A spiritual form of harm is where you weaken a person's connection to Hashem. And when that happens, the person's spirituality is damaged, and he on his own self-destructs. In other words, let's look at the opposite of a curse. The opposite of a curse is a blessing. When we bless people, what do we truly bless people with? When you go to a holy person, to a rabbi, a holy person for a blessing, are you asking the rabbi for wealth? Are you asking the rabbi for good health? Are you asking him for a parnasa? Okay, on a very simple, superficial level, possibly yes. But on a much deeper level, what the rabbi, true, what you're really asking the rabbi for is for a spiritual blessing. Where through the spiritual blessing, a person is able to raise himself up on his own, closer to Hashem, where he now, on his own, deserves Hashem's blessing. There are many different examples of this. I'm not prepared to go through the examples, and it will take a very long time. Let's give you one quick example. It says in the Gemara, a person has someone in his home who is not well, a choyle, someone who is ill at home. He's supposed to go to a chacham. What are you supposed to do by the chacham? So many of us think that you go to the tzaddik. The tzaddik will pray for you. That's not what it says in the Gemara. It's not what it says in the Rishonim, in the Mefarshim. You go to the tzaddik, and the tzaddik will teach you how to daven to Hashem. When you pray for a blessing, you go get a blessing from a person. The blessing primarily is that you should have opportunities. You should have the ability to learn how to elevate yourself spiritually in what you need to achieve the gashmius of what you are, what you need. A person needs healing, refuah. He needs to elevate himself in a certain spiritual way where now naturally he will merit healing. And the blessing of a tzaddik does exactly that. If Bilam, the goal of Amon and Moav was to hire Bilam to curse the Jewish people, the goal wasn't just to curse the Jewish people, that they should disappear. The goal was to harm them spiritually so that they would no longer be deserving of Hashem's special protection. A curse is the 180 degree of what a blessing is. We have to also appreciate that when you come to bring someone lechem u'mayim, the lechem, what is lechem u'mayim? Lechem and mayim are two words that are code words for Torah. Mayim is a metaphor for Torah. Hoy, kol tzonei, l'chu l'mayim. Lechem, the pasuk says, l'chu lachamu b'lachani. These two words are words which are code words throughout the Talmud for Torah. Jewish people came out of the desert. In the desert, they received Hashem's Torah. Amon and Moav, they saw the Jewish people, Asher lo kidmu eschem balechem uvamayim. Homiletically, what it means is they didn't sargin that the Jewish people should have the blessing, the spiritual blessing of Torah that is called lechem and mayim. The Jewish people were traveling through the desert, and they have needs. They have needs, and the needs of the Jewish people was only for the purpose that they should be able to fully engage in the observance and the fulfillment of the Torah and mitzvahs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu have given the Jewish people in the desert, the 40 years in the desert, Matan Torah, the teaching and the training. Asher lo kidmu eschem. They did not come forward to you and help you, assist you in your fulfillment, in your engagement of the lechem and the mayim. L'chu lachamu b'lachmi, hoi kol tzomei l'chu l'mayim, the two words that are code words, metaphors of Torah, which is the sustenance, the spiritual sustenance of the Jewish people. Amon and Moav, Rashi is explaining, their focus was not just to take a sword and kill us in cold blood. They had a much deeper approach. It was to deny us of the Lechem and the Mayim, our spirituality. It was to attack us not with a sword, but with a curse, to ask Hashem not to give us the opportunities to develop spiritually. If we're not going to have Lechem Amayim, Torah, and we're not going to have opportunities to develop spiritually, then the Mela, it's natural we would descend in our spiritual ascent to come close to Hashem and not have any merit, be worthy of Hashem's protection, and we would just disappear, dissipate, evaporate, and fall to the wayside in the dangerous territory of the desert. So in Rashi over here tells us that Amon and Moav, they tried to destroy us spiritually. Rashi is not coming to give a third reason as to why Amon and Moav are not permitted to join the Jewish people ever. He's coming to explain the underlying element in what Amon and Moav were doing with their behavior of not providing Mayim and Mazon in the words of the Torah, and hiring Bilam ben Bar. To summarize very quickly, what are we doing over here? We have over here a sugya in the Torah telling us the rules of converts. Generally, any convert from the entire world can join the Jewish people in a moment. Of course, they have to go to Beis Din, follow all the halachas, Kabbalah, mitzvahs, tefillah, milah. There's no restriction. In fact, in today's generation, Chazal tells us that Sancheiriv many years ago came along and he mixed up the entire world, and the nations of the world are no longer distinct. There is no longer an Amon, there is no longer a Moab, there is no longer an Edom. Many of the Poskim follow this understanding, and that means that today any convert can join the Jewish people immediately. Pretty much, there are maybe some exceptions according to some opinions, but generally today, but we're going back to the time of the Torah. And in the time of the Torah, there were distinct nations. And the Torah is telling us that a convert from the Ummah Yisraelim can join immediately. But there are four exceptions. There's the nations of Amon and Moav. They can never come into the Jewish people. And then there's the nation of Mitzrayim and Edom, which have to wait three generations. They're evil. They did not help us when we left Egypt. But although they committed terrible averos, being that they are our brother, Edom is our brother, Esav, and Mitzrayim served for the Jewish people as a host in difficult times. We don't love them, but if they want to join us, they're welcome after three generations. We ask the question, why did Rashi then go on to explain that the reason why Amon and Moav is rejected is because Amon and Moav tried to cause us harm spiritually? And that's worse than trying to take our life. Taking our life is only in this world, but spiritually is a destruction in this world and the next world. And Rashi answers, does Rashi gives this as a reason to explain the difference. And we ask the question, why does Rashi need to give that third reason? The Torah already told us two reasons. They did not kidnap with Chembalechem v'mayim, and they hired Bilam ben Ba'or to curse us. So we try to explain the principle. Rashi is not telling us the third reason. He's telling us the underlying focus of Amon and Moav in the two reasons cited in the Torah. When it says they did not greet us, Kidmu Eschem, Alechem V'mayim. Alechem and Mayim are code words for Torah, the Torah Kedosha. L'chulachem u'lachmi, Haikol Tzame l'chulamayim. They did not fargin that we should merit the blessing of Torah. And they made trouble for us. Furthermore, they made trouble by hiring someone to curse us. A curse is not just a magic potion where we disappear, we're obliterated. A curse is a spiritual focus where Hashem should prevent us. We should be denied opportunity of spirituality. And then it's just natural, we wither away, we fall to the side. Rashi is explaining the underlying current behind their frame of mind in their behavior. And that's why they are rejected forever. The Musa Haskell is, when we go forward in life, we have to not just look for blessing in the world of Gashmias. We have to earn our blessing. And earning the blessing is when the blessing comes in the form of opportunities to learn, to daven, to learn how to learn, to learn how to daven, how we can elevate ourselves higher. And then, when we do that, it's only natural that HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestows upon us blessings so we can continue and go even higher. I thank you all for listening, for coming tonight. Such a wonderful Choshev Olam. Every so often I get a chance to speak to some of the people in the audience. Kulam Ahuvim, Kulam Berudim, Kulam Choshev people. Everyone is a distinguished in their own way. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful evening. Have a wonderful week. Allah v'hatzlach, bracha v'hatzlacha. Good night.